So this week we are wrestling with great, honest questions and hopefully great biblical answers. Remember, my job is to pose a question, to open the Bible and answer it, and your job is to make sure that what I say is true. So here's today's question. What's a great spot to turn to when you're talking with someone who doesn't yet believe in Jesus? I really love that question because all of us have those conversations, right? Like you're talking with someone, a neighbor, a coworker, a teammate, someone in your family, a good friend, and things kind of get spiritual and God opens this door. So what are you gonna say? There are over 31,000 passages in the Bible. You're just gonna pick and open and hope it's not Leviticus and God has something powerful? Or are you gonna have a verse on the tip of your tongue to share? Well, I thought deeply about that question. Like in my conversations like that, what part of the Bible do I turn to? Now, I've been blessed to read the Bible cover to cover multiple times. So what's like a go-to spot to help people grasp what Christianity is all about? You know, my initial answer was gonna be John 3:16, perhaps the most famous Bible passage of all time. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Like what a great summary. God is known for his love. He gave Jesus his son. And if you trust in Jesus, you'll have life with God that never ends. But then I thought, no, what about Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9? It says, it's by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not by works so that no one can boast. Like what a great passage to prove that it's not something we earn. It's not good karma. It's not that we deserve it. It's just that God is loving and compassionate and kind. But today, actually, I thought of something that might be even a little bit better. I was thinking about all the kinds of people that I meet. You know, some people whose lives are a train wreck and they know they are, and some people who seem all put together and maybe don't think they need Jesus that much. And I thought of what I think is the most brilliant story Jesus ever told in Luke chapter 15. It's sometimes called the parable of the prodigal son, but I like to call it the parable of the lost sons, plural. And here's how the story goes. There's this amazing father. He's generous, he's kind, he's fair, and he loves his two sons. But his younger son, I don't know, maybe he's the second born kid. He doesn't want to live with his dad and live under his roof and live with his rule. So he says, Dad, you know, I want your money and I'm going to get out of here. And he does. He takes his father's money. He goes to a distant land, far, far away from his father's house, far from his father's face. And he splurges. I mean, think Vegas times 10. There's prostitutes, there's parties, there's alcohol. He lives it up. And then things fall apart. Soon a famine comes into the land. He doesn't have any money left. All his friends bail on him. He's working a terrible job. He doesn't even have money to eat and feed himself. And he realizes that separating himself from his father was a bad, bad idea. And so he decides to go home. And on the way, he's rehearsing a speech. Father, I messed up. Like, I hurt you. I sinned against you and against God. I'm not worthy to be part of your family. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But while he's rehearsing the speech, the father spots him. In Jesus' story, it's like the father never stopped looking, aching, praying for his son to come home. And when he sees him, Jesus says that the dad is filled with compassion. And instead of waiting with his hands on his hips with a lecture, you know, where's my money? What did you do? He goes running out to his son. He embraces him. He weeps and he throws a party. He puts steak on the grill. He hires a DJ and they celebrate. But before the kid has changed, before he's better, the father shows him ridiculous love. Which would be a great summary of Christianity, right? Like, you might have messed up. You might have said, God, I don't want to live in your house. I don't want to live by your rules. I want to take your blessings. I want to do what I want. And maybe you realize it doesn't always work out. Like, short-term pleasure is that. It's pleasure, but it's short-term. Maybe you realize that you've sinned and you don't think you're worthy to be called the Son of God. But that story proves, like, God is so much more compassionate than you ever imagined. And in love, in pure unconditional love, he rushes out to accept you and welcome you into his family. But that's not where the story ends. According to Jesus, there's another son, remember, an older brother. And he never left home. He never rebelled against his father's rules. And he's out in the field working hard like he always does. And he hears the music and the dancing. And someone tells him, your younger brother's come home and your father's throwing a party. You should come. But the older brother doesn't want to go. And when the father hears about this, he goes out to the field and he says, son, your younger brother was lost and now he's found. He was like dead to our family. Now he's alive. We have to celebrate. And the older brother says, well, you never did anything for me, Dad. You never threw a party for me and my friends. And Jesus said in the story that the father says to the son, but son, I was always with you. Maybe we didn't have the food and maybe we didn't have the music, but you were always with me, with my compassion and my love. And then the story ends. Do you know why Jesus told the story that way? Because there are a whole lot of people who keep the rules and they're fairly moral and they're generally good people, but they're just not that happy being with God. They might be very religious, they might be family kind of people, but they don't find the greatest joy and treasure in the fact that God is in their life. And in this story, Jesus is so brilliant because he realizes that almost all of us are in one of two camps. We like go off the rails and we do what we want, or we keep the rules, but both of us forget about the amazing presence of God. And so whether you're speaking with a person who's really broken and, you know, in an AA program or NA, or someone who's very religious and has it all together, all of us need to hear the same message, that there is a God who wants us to live in his house, in his presence, so we can party forever. That's the story that I tell to people. And then I pose the question, so which son are you like? Here's what I know, all of us got issues. And here's what I also know, we have a father who's reaching out, who's running out of his house to embrace all of us. Will you accept him? Will you believe in that kind of love? In my opinion, that's the best place in the Bible to start with someone who's not a Christian just yet. Let's pray about that. Dear God, all of us know people, and we love people who don't trust in you just yet. And we don't always know what to say or when to say it or how to say it, so we're going to need your help. I pray that you could use this passage or any passage that you put into our minds to help them see how beautiful and wonderful you are, how serious sin is, but how incredible your grace is too. Give us the words to speak, that we can be a blessing to those you put in our life. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.